So what's up, everybody? This is Ruben Garcia, and this is A Beautiful Day. And today on the Proven by Ruben podcast, we have Amy Freeman. What's up, Amy?
Hey, Ruben.
How are you?
I am doing well. Thank you.
Awesome. So if you could tell everyone who you are, what you do, how you do it, and all that good jazz.
Okay, so I'm Amy Freeman, and I'm with Keller Williams Realty, and I have a team, Amy and Company. I am in Wilmington, North Carolina. It's important. Everybody knows I'm in Wilmington, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. So send me all your referrals. We have a team. We have 9 agents right now.
Okay.
Looking to be at 20 agents by the end of the year.
Gotcha.
We definitely have room on our team to be able to be at 20 agents by the end of the year.
Gotcha.
So it's 9 agents and me and an executive assistant and transaction coordinator team.
Gotcha. Okay. So what are you guys projected to close this year, just to kind of give some clarity to people?
So today we will hit 100 closings.
Wanted you to say that.
So I'm super excited about that. My assistant may have sent a text saying that she thinks one might get delayed till tomorrow, but no, it's going to be today. 100 today.
100% it'll be today.
Shooting for 150 still.
Cool. Awesome. So projected to close 150 this year, 9 people team. Yep. And how many of those people are listing agents?
So 3 people work on listings.
And then how many buyer's agents?
So what is that? 6.
6. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, you know, I feel like a lot of people or some people who may be listening and say, you know what? That's a big managerial position, right? Like you're managing a lot of people. What would you say to those people?
Well, so we don't manage anybody. Mm-hmm. We lead them.
Okay.
But no, it's kind of like having kids, right? You know, you have the first child and, you know, there's the learning curve and, you know, you do things a little differently and then you have the second child and then, you know, some people, you have 3, 4, it doesn't change that much,
right?
You know, you're already developing the systems, you know, you already have a lot of the staff. So there aren't a lot of things that really, really change.
Okay.
You know, we do try to keep it to, I think it's the MREA that says, you know, you shouldn't have more than 5 people reporting to you at any time. So now that we're getting to be this size, we're having to implement a lead agent. We call her a squad leader. Really need to, because I've got a couple offers out to people right now. So definitely by the end of the year, I'm going to need 1 or 2 additional squad leaders.
Gotcha.
So the hope, what we're working towards is, Our admin will report to me, the squad leaders will report to me, but then everybody else reports to the squad leaders.
Right. So what does that squad leader look like in your business?
Mm-hmm. So squad leaders still have personal production.
Okay.
And then they will have 4 to 5 people, because again, we don't want to have more than 5 people. Mm-hmm. So it just depends on the person. They might only be okay with 4 or 5. And they're really first line of training. And
okay.
If that agent needs something, they reach out to the squad leader first.
Yeah. So that's more of like the job description.
Mm-hmm.
What type of person, like mindset,
okay.
You know, what, mm-hmm. like what's that look like for that person?
Well, so this is our first one. So, you know, we're learning.
Fine. Yeah.
But I think if I had a choice of many people, she still would have been that person.
Sure.
She's been on our team for about 18 months. She is a leader. And you have to be a leader.
Right.
And you have to be somebody that's going to be able to make time.
Yeah.
Top producer. So the fact that she can be the top producer on our team and still have the time to lead and train and mentor 5 other people is huge. She's also married. She has children.
Yeah.
So she's invested in these people, mm-hmm. and you have to be a unique person to do that.
Did she, now obviously looking at the structure of your business, it's calling for that squad leader.
Mm-hmm.
Was she the one who knocked on your door saying, hey, I would like this opportunity? Or did you knock on her door looking for her or showing that
opportunity? Well, so it's funny how we even got together. I was looking for an admin position.
Yeah.
And she came in and interviewed for the admin position. And I said, all right, so good news, bad news. Not going to hire you for admin. You would be fantastic at it, because she would. Her disc is that of, you know, organization.
Yeah.
But she seemed like the kind of person that would get really bored with that.
Yeah.
So I said, you know what, if you go to real estate school, I'll hire you as an agent.
Yeah.
So she goes to real estate school. She's trying to recruit other people in real estate school to our team already.
Yeah.
And then she comes and she just kills it. You know, I mean, she's capped in 4 months this year on a team.
Yeah.
You know, she's killing it.
Yeah.
So she's just naturally taken a leadership role.
Yeah.
So when we knew that we were going to need this, she's an obvious person to talk to.
Gotcha. Okay, so you'll be knocking on her door, essentially.
Yeah, we were knocking on her door. And yeah, she's someone, because, you know, after we get 4 or 5 squad leaders,
right,
then we're going to need somebody that's going to be over the squad leader. So whether mm-hmm. the sales manager, director of sales, whatever that looks
fancy
like.
Fancy name.
Yeah, and based on who we have on the team right now,
right,
she's the obvious choice for that.
Right, right. Okay. So, and as we know, you know, you, the more opportunity you allow someone mm-hmm. in your team, why would they go anywhere else, right?
Right. Well, it just depends if she wants that at the time, because a squad leader can still produce.
Right.
Someone that's going to be in charge of 5 squad leaders mm-hmm. might not be able to produce anymore.
Right.
That might be more of a full-time leadership role.
Yeah.
She might not want that.
Right.
It just, I think it depends how long it takes us to get there. If we just hired a bunch of great talent right now and we were going to be at that place in 6 months, I don't know if she'd want to be considered for that, because right. she still likes selling.
Yeah. So. Yeah. 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 Well, cool. Well, good. So naturally, we kind of went off on mm-hmm. that. I wanted to get some clarity on that. But now I want to back up 21 years ago.
Uh-huh.
Back 21 years
I'll
ago.
I'll see if I can remember.
Here we go. You got into real estate 21 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Oh, my gosh. So my best friend at the time.
Where is she now?
Gosh,
no.
I'm thinking as I say this out loud, you know, this person could end up hearing this story.
They
so
will.
Maybe I'll
Millions
change
of
it. Yes, I'll change it a little bit. My best friend at the time was dating a guy that didn't have his life together.
Okay.
And he said, I'm going to go to real estate school and become a real estate agent. And, you know, it's known that it's a very hard test to pass mm-hmm. the first time, maybe even the second.
Right.
And I don't know, what was I, 24? I was just kind of doing odds and ends stuff. You know, I didn't have a career or anything.
What were you doing? Like, what were those odds and ends?
I think I was a waitress in a bar at the time.
Dude, a lot of agents come from that background. So
yeah. So he goes, he takes the class, he passes the test on the first time. And I honestly said, if he can do it, so can I. And that's how my real estate career came up.
Then you went to real estate school after that?
I signed up. I passed my test the first time. And from what I understand, he is no longer in real estate. And he has contacted me over the years because he's been considering moving to Wilmington. So it's funny how it kind of comes full circle. Mm-hmm. I got into real estate because you did it. And now I might sell you a house at some point.
Yeah. Did you so before you got your real estate license, what did you see yourself doing as you, quote unquote, grown up?
Right. Okay. So when I was in high school, I wanted to be a trial attorney. I'm a good debater. Could ask all my exes. Yeah. So I wanted to be a trial attorney, but I also wanted to be a mom. Mm. And it's funny that I ended up in real estate because I realized that even just from watching TV shows, you know, people have big cases that last a year and that's all they're doing all the time.
Right.
And I thought, well, how could I be a good mother if I'm working 80 hours a week and then I get into real estate? So it's really not that much different.
Right.
So I put that aside and I went to school for paralegal, but I quickly realized that wasn't, I wanted to be in the courtroom. I didn't want to be prepping the attorney to be in the courtroom. And I'm a high D, so I was just never going to be a good employee for anybody.
Right. So. Right. Yeah. So did you ever get your taste of stepping a foot in the courtroom and being on that Mm-mm. defense or offense?
No, and I've only been called for jury duty once.
Mm.
So.
How good did you feel walking into that courtroom, you know, before you go onto that jury duty position? Were you stoked?
Did you wear a
big old coat judge?
I was very pregnant. I don't remember how far along I was, but I was very pregnant and they weren't going to keep me because they were worried about.
Mm.
And it was like a murder case or anything. It was, you know, some guy that worked at the car dealership that was stealing stuff out of people's cars.
Mm. Guilty.
I would have found him guilty.
Yeah. Thief. Guilty. Cool. So then I guess moving forward, you got your license. When you got that paper, did you know where you were going? Where you were going to hang it? Was there any influence? What'd that look like?
Gosh, I don't remember why I chose the first place that I went to. I was in Charlotte at the time.
Okay.
I went to Prudential.
Okay.
Bill Gallagher was the broker. Bill Gallagher awesome now has a real estate school.
Yeah.
And I almost only do my CE through him. And he only comes to Wilmington a couple times a year. So yeah. It was a great experience, but I really didn't have a plan. And he had moved out of the brokerage and they brought someone else in. And she tried to sit down with me and set up a perfect daily schedule.
Right.
And I was offended. I left.
Why?
Because she was trying to tell me what to do.
It was the way that she was.
I think she came across it negative. Yeah. I had just got married. I was gone for my honeymoon. Obviously, I had the wedding. Then I had the honeymoon. And I came back in and it was, at least the way I remember it, was that she kind of came at me. Like,
yeah.
You haven't been here. You're not producing. So let's talk about getting your schedule worked out.
So from the very beginning, you were on the defense.
Yeah.
In that conversation.
And of course, I remember it that she came at me that way. She could have been very nice.
Yeah. She's like, hey, Amy, today's an amazing day.
Yeah. And then I just saw it.
Fast forward 20 years from now.
Yeah. Maybe I should reach out.
Yeah. Maybe. Or maybe she hears this, right, and reaches out.
But I think it also goes in line with you have to know yourself.
Sure.
And I'm not a great employee. I don't want to say I'm not a great employee. If I had to work for somebody, I would do what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
But I would always be looking for, okay, I have to get out. This is not my thing.
Right.
You know, I need to have my own thing.
Right.
But I didn't know what that looked like.
Yeah.
And I don't think that I appreciate – I wasn't ready for someone to tell me what it
right.
looked like.
Right. So you walk out of there and then what?
I learned that I was a natural seller because this is a relationship business. I mean, I've tried to sell some other things that aren't quite sexy, like a house. You know, I've tried to sell biometric time devices.
What is that?
Like if you have a business and someone's coming in and punching a clock, but they're using a hand scanner or whatever, we were selling those.
Oh,
people aren't
that
buying
sounded way
those,
more fancier than what it actually was.
Time clocks, automated time clocks.
Yeah, biometric time clock. I'm like, whoa, where? I want to go to 1964.
Oh my god. no one's buying those because they want to. You know, it's schools, it's towns. They're
right.
buying it because they're on paper and people are cheating them. So
right.
is it budgeted?
Right.
And then if it's a school system, I mean, we could be talking $600 to $1 million.
Right.
You know. It wasn't fun. I didn't like it. And I kind of questioned myself for a while because I had been selling real estate for a long time and I knew that I was good at that.
Yeah.
And then I tried selling this and I thought, oh, maybe I'm not as good as I thought I was.
Right.
But real estate's a relationship business.
Yeah.
So it almost became – objections were almost a game. I started working for a company that had a kiosk in the mall.
Okay.
And so I'm in the middle of the aisle that people mm-hmm. are walking up and down. And
yep.
we had a very tiny desk.
Yeah.
So you really couldn't even – we didn't have a computer. We didn't have anything.
Yeah.
So you would just be standing there looking super bored mm-hmm. if you didn't talk to anybody.
Yeah.
So, you know, people will come up to you. Now, they're at the mall. They are not looking to buy or sell a home. They're looking for clothes.
Right.
Or whatever.
Right.
And I remember this one couple specifically. They were, I don't know, maybe early 20s, maybe mid-20s. And they said, yeah, we're thinking about buying a house, but probably not for 6 months or a year. It was a long time frame. In a month, they were in a place.
Mm.
So I think you just have to show people why now's a better time. And not even
right.
just selling them, just because it makes sense.
Right.
You know, people will say, well, I want to save money. Well, if interest rates go up, then that could offset. Or
right.
maybe you can afford less of a house because you waited.
Right.
People just don't know. They're just throwing out a time frame thinking that's what would work for them. So I really just stopped listening to the time frame and tried to find a way to help them then.
Right.
And that was working. So.
And you found that skill through the kiosk from that one day.
Well, I think when you do something and you succeed or
yeah, it gives you
accomplish
confidence.
Your. Yeah.
Yeah.
And confidence is everything.
Yeah.
I never remember the statistic. I keep meaning to look it up, but it's something like, you know, 71% of what's said through confidence is perceived as truth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true. That's everything. And I try to be really mindful of not saying things like think or,
right.
you know, especially if I'm talking to a seller. I won't say I think the house will sell at this.
Yeah, I don't do that.
I
sounds terrible.
I feel.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I use different
yeah.
words
yeah.
because I don't want to sound unsure
Gotcha. So you got your confidence back,
mm-hmm.
and you're feeling a lot better about this. So mm-hmm. where do you go now?
Well, I think after that, it became hard.
Why?
Well, because sometimes we have that initial success.
Mm-hmm.
We're so excited. You know, we just had the win, but we're not, there's no structure. I mean,
right.
in this 21 years, I've had structure for about 4 to 4.5.
Right.
So all those other years, it was, okay, I sold a house and then I have to go pay all my bills because I haven't been because right. I didn't sell a house.
Yeah.
And it was definitely the feast or famine.
Yeah.
You know, no putting money aside, totally freaking out in April. So it got hard after that. And my life changed a little bit too. You know, I got divorced and, those kinds of things that happened. So I struggled for a lot of years. I knew that if you were a ready, willing, and able buyer, I could probably convert you.
Yeah.
I've always been good at conversion.
Yeah. Well, it started getting hard. Bills were due, mm-hmm. divorce. What pulled you out of that?
I mean, in reality, I got out of the business for a little bit. I always kept my license active. And I would come back in and I would try. Market also crashed, too. And then I moved markets. And then, honestly, I was working for someone. And that was reaching its end of life. I was grateful for it. I needed it in my life at the time. It got me back above ground.
Mm.
But then it was, okay, this isn't who you are. And right. that and the relationship with my boss was going downhill really fast.
Yeah.
And one night I just put my resume out there and it was kind of late at night and somebody reached out to me shortly after, within like 10 minutes of when I put my resume out, and met with them and joined their team for a minute.
What was the resume to?
Just, it was for real estate. I was like, you know what? I'm going to try it. And because I had had a team and I'd worked for a builder and I'd been an individual agent, I thought to myself, gosh, it would be so nice if I could join a team and have things handed to me. It would be so nice because I'm a good converter.
Yeah.
And I didn't have the money to do it on my own.
Right.
So I thought, all right, I'll join a team and I'll see what that looks like.
And then you did.
And then, you know, I mean, it didn't work.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So there's a lot going on there. Okay. And then.
Yeah.
And then join the team. Wasn't a good fit. So, you take off.
Mm-hmm.
So, and do what?
So I just had to, start looking at it like a business. I think.
Personal business.
Yeah.
Your personal real estate business.
I think I separated from that team. So I had been kind of doing activities mm-hmm. while I was on the team. The things that they had promised me, the amount of leads they said they had, that they were old leads. It wasn't really new leads.
Right.
So there were a lot of things that were false. And you know what? I spent a lot of time in a negative mindset around that. But everything leads us to where we are now.
Yep.
And if it wasn't for that, it wasn't for all those promises, even though they weren't true, it still got me back into real estate. So I have to be thankful for that. And it brought me to this road.
Yeah.
And I still did 6 deals in about a 6-month period with no pipeline, all sphere. So I was doing more activities. I was doing some open houses. Because that's, if you don't have leads, or I never really felt like I had a sphere. I had only lived in the town for a couple years, kind of kept to myself.
Wilmington?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I didn't really feel like I had a sphere. I would post on Facebook every now and then, but not consistent.
Right.
But I still managed to get 6 deals. And then that relationship ended abruptly. So I had nothing to fall back on.
Right.
I have 2 kids and commission only and mm-hmm. nothing in the pipeline. So I think that relationship ended, I want to say, in May. And I hired my first coach in January.
So I think that's interesting. So you left the team,
mm-hmm.
6 deals, 2 kids,
mm-hmm.
commission-based,
mm-hmm.
and your next move was to pay for a coach.
Oh, yeah. Totally scared. I mean, but I.
Well, why? What was that? Because I would think majority of people would say, oh, crap, now I got to get a job. Or, you know, this commission, I have to, and this is what some people thought, I have to think about the kids. And if I think about the kids, money just needs to show up and I need to go to work.
Mm-hmm.
Your mindset was different. You said, this is my plate. I think I'm going to put more money towards it. So talk.
Well, I've always been a hard worker.
Yeah.
I mean, the day I turned 15, I had a job. I got a raise shortly after because I was working so hard. I've always been a worker. I'm not afraid to do the work.
Right.
And like I said, if I can get you in my car, my conversion's good.
Sure. So you felt good about that.
Yeah. So yeah. I had a few things working for me.
Sure.
As I've gotten older, I've become more honest with myself. And I know where I need accountability. And I'm not, even to this day, hopefully my coach won't listen to this, but.
Oh, you know he will.
Even to this day, I don't like to prospect.
Mm-hmm.
And most of us don't.
Right.
You know, perfect real estate agents don't like to prospect. So my coach would say, okay, you have to call 50 people by the time we talk again.
Mm-hmm.
And I was probably calling a large part of those right before I got on my coaching call.
Mm-hmm.
But I did it.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't have done it if I didn't have a coach.
Right.
So I dipped my toe in. I didn't go, you know, full blown.
1,000+.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I found someone that was Keller Williams.
Mm-hmm.
They were starting a coaching business.
Mm.
So the cost was much different. They later became MAPS. So things changed. But
yeah.
But I was getting weekly calls, but I was able to dip my toe in. And
yeah.
Then really a lot of the stuff that she was giving me, I still had to do baby steps.
Right.
You know, some because I'm a control freak and because I wanted to do everything.
Yeah.
And then some because it was more money.
Right.
But I think that when you have that coaching mentor relationship and you really trust that person,
mm-hmm.
you know that they're not going to put you in a bad situation.
Right. So what were the... If you could point out like the top three things you gained out of being in that tough situation, getting a coach, what did the coach like, what's the top three things that they gave you that really helped you out of that mindset, that business, that everything that you were in?
Well, like I said, having the support person.
Okay.
And having someone in your corner.
Yeah.
Which for me was my coach. I'm single, mm-hmm. you know, I didn't have a boyfriend or a spouse. And maybe that was good too, because I know that sometimes partners aren't supportive.
Right.
So I didn't really have that on either side.
Right.
So my coach was that person that was in my corner.
Yeah.
And we focused on my strengths. You know, a good coach isn't going to have you doing the five activities that you hate.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you hate them, that's going to come across. So she dug in and figured out the things that I like to do. And then we focused on those. And then, yeah, sometimes we're still, okay, well, Amy, you have to do this.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah.
But I trusted her. So even while right. I was super mad at her at the moment.
You did.
But then when I did it,
yeah,
you feel better. Like when you go and you do a workout or, you know, they give you some task and you think, oh, I can't do that. Oh, 20 reps? I can't do that. I'll die. And then mm-hmm. you do 20 reps and you feel amazing.
Yeah.
Because they knew you could do it. It's just the own stupid stuff that you're telling yourself.
Yeah.
So she also made me be more intentional with my time with my kids.
Mm.
And unfortunately, that's something, you know, you can't go back and change.
Mm-hmm.
But had you asked my kids years ago, and probably still now, but they're older and I don't think they care as much now, but they would say, mommy always works.
Right.
And I did, because I wasn't running it like a business. So I might work 18 hours a day and I still didn't have a whole lot to show for it because I was doing all that busy work stuff.
Yeah.
And I think it was my very first call with her. She said, you know, what are some material things you want? And I was like, well, I'm not really super materialistic.
Right.
I was renting a house. I didn't really want to buy because my kids are older and I don't know what my life will look like.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm just going to keep renting for right now.
Yeah.
I just bought a car. Like, I don't know. I don't really want anything.
What kind of car? I'm a car guy.
Well, I got rid of that car because it was a Kia and people make so many jokes about Kias and I couldn't take it anymore.
Kias are like crushing it right now,
Super safe. And that's why I got it. But it always felt, it felt like the next step past a minivan.
Yeah.
And then kind of like, what's it? The reticular activity. Like people just kept making jokes about Kias.
Yeah. Yep.
And I'm like, I drive a Kia.
And it's so amazing.
Yeah. Well, and it's a story for another time.
Yeah,
but
sure.
I just traded in my car and I got a Chevy Tahoe and I had one before my divorce.
Yeah.
Couldn't keep it because of the divorce. Mm. It was the only thing that I've ever missed and wanted back. It was my favorite car.
Yeah.
So I just got it like a month or so ago.
Sure.
And I kind of feel like my life came back around and I repaired that one thing that I had to lose because of the divorce and the market crashing and all of those things.
Right.
So I almost cried on the way home from the car dealership.
Yeah. Yeah.
So she, I said I would maybe go on more vacations with my kids. And I said more vacations. I really wasn't going on vacations at all. A vacation was going to Charlotte for a weekend.
Right.
Maybe to a game. Maybe to see family. That was it.
Right.
And she said, okay, so how many vacations do you want to go on next year? Like one a quarter? What?
Yeah.
People do that? That's a thing?
Yeah.
People go on vacation once a quarter? And I go, I don't know. That sounds excessive. And P.S. I'm broke.
Yeah.
So I don't know where that money's coming from.
Yeah.
And I already had a trip planned with my daughter for a long weekend in New York, but I didn't tell her that.
Mm.
And she said, okay, well, if one a quarter sounds like too much, she said, I want you, by the next time we talk, which was going to be a week later, I want you to have three vacations on your calendar. You don't have to have it booked. You don't even have to know where you're going. Mm-hmm. You have to block off three vacations, and they don't have to be a week. They could, you know, just whatever. And I'm like, all right, well, I already got one done.
Yeah.
Because I'm a salesperson. So if I could, you know, manipulate the system a little bit, I was like, oh, I already got one.
Yeah.
Because I'm an overachiever, I had booked a week cruise by the time I talked to her again. So I didn't just have them on my calendar. I had actually booked a trip. I did all those trips and then some.
Yeah.
And I think it's one of those things that once you put it out there, that's why we have vision boards, right?
What did your business look like at the same time you were going on vacations?
I'm trying to think because I did six transactions the year before from that November to May. I think that next year, that whole next year, and I ended up hiring a buyer's agent, I think we did like 30 transactions the next year.
Okay.
Obviously, like increased my expenses.
Sure.
I was still getting by.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? But once you have something on the calendar and you kind of put it out in the universe, you find a way to make it happen.
Yeah, no, and I think it's interesting that, you know, you not only committed to blocking the time, you committed to the actual vacation.
Right.
And when you did that, I feel some people would say, there's no, I don't have time. Right. I'm so busy. I got so much business. I don't have time. And it sounds like your business increased the same time you booked those vacations.
Well, and she had an interesting perspective on it too, because we had figured up about how much those things would cost. And I think it came to about $6,000. And she said, you realize that's one more deal.
Yeah.
Can you commit to one more deal in the whole year to take three vacations?
Pre-tax.
Obviously, yes, I can do that.
Yeah.
And then, naturally, business got busier
because
you work for that thing.
Right.
So you have to have things that you always have to have a why.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And you were, is it safe to say that you were kind of excited about those vacations? So when you were showing buyers or talking to sellers, that was in the back of your mind, kicked up, beach, toes in the sand.
Well, and it gives you another piece of conversation. I mean, so that just kind of started this whole cruise thing with me and my kids. That became our thing.
Mm.
So we cruise one or two cruises every summer. So you're out with clients and you're talking about, oh, I'm getting ready to go on vacation. Well, where are you going to? Oh, I was there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just, it opens up other conversations.
Yeah, of course.
But yeah, when you're happy about something, that comes across in everything.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt. So you put money towards, you expanded in that moment of scarcity, right? You expanded and it actually gave you a return. So what, and it sounds like you hired your first buyer's agent after that. And did you have, and this is me curious, did you have admin before thinking about that buyer's agent, or was it just like, oh, I might need someone?
I had a part-time admin.
Okay.
Because again, I had to negotiate. So my coach said I had to get an admin.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, money.
What
and
did they do?
What am I going to give them?
Sure.
So I said, what about part-time?
Yeah.
And she said, okay, you can do part-time.
She's like, yeah, because you're going to get busier for the time that you're going to get back, and they will turn full-time. Yeah.
So I went a little blind on that. I'm not a patient person, so I don't necessarily follow the process like I should.
Yeah.
Or even close to a T.
Yeah.
A line. I interviewed, I think, three people all back-to-back at a coffee shop. And there was this one girl I just really liked. And I didn't know that that wasn't a good thing. And I really, you know, I still, I like her as a person. She's a great person. I really enjoyed my time with her, but she's somebody that I would have wanted to be friends with.
Yeah.
You know? So I want to say she worked like Monday, Tuesday, Friday, or Monday, Wednesday, Friday, something like that.
Yeah.
So on Monday she would come in and we would talk about the weekend, and on Fridays we would talk about the weekend, and I realized I'm paying her to be my friend.
Yeah.
And then that also created a different relationship. I didn't really feel respected because then we would start missing time.
Yep.
So that was a short-lived relationship. I had hired a buyer's agent during that time. So now I felt like some of my value was that I had an admin. Then I felt very pressured to replace that admin. So I made another bad hire. Because then I was just looking for all the things that were different from the first person. And I was just creating other problems.
Yeah. So curious and kind of interesting that you, in the beginning, you know, where you said, I don't really follow the process to a T because I need that result.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you, in essence, wasted more time not following process because of all the bad hires in the way, right? That happened.
Right. But I'm a high D and I want things done and I have no patience. And it's hard to see that because you never start a relationship, personal or business, expecting it to end.
Sure.
So you're hiring this person and you like them and it's going to be all magical.
Yeah.
And my coach did tell me with that second hire, because this person was a high D.
Yeah.
And she said, Amy, you guys are going to butt heads.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, it's fine. She'll push me. It'll be great. She's like a strong New Yorker. Yeah. I'm like, this would be amazing.
Yeah.
And it didn't go past day one where she was already trying to change things.
Yeah.
Which is fine, but you have to learn what we're doing first. You can't just come in with all these ideas. And she didn't have a real estate background.
Right.
So I still tried to give the benefit of the doubt, see if I could work around it. And we just couldn't.
Right.
And then some other red flags presented themselves that had I done a better process, I probably would have figured out. But, you know, if you only do one interview, it's like a first date.
Why do you think that is? And I know that you're high D, right?
Mm-hmm.
But why do you think that is when we know success leaves clues? Mm-hmm. And the clues that have been left behind show us a process, and we still go through the school of hard knocks. Like, we still, I don't say all of us, right? Not that broad. Some of us are smart enough just to run the play. But I fall in that same category, mm-hmm. and I'll do school of hard knocks as well. Why do you think that is that we do that? Knowing that success leaves clues, and if we just followed the play, we'd be in a good place.
I think that we always think we're just smarter than the system, you know, or we're just trying to cheat the system. I think a lot of times, not so much with admin, because we only usually have one or two admin, but sometimes with buyer's agents, you have to build your bench. And if you don't have people on your bench, then when a person leaves, it's like the end of the world.
Right.
And then, you know, with buyer's agents, we have leads and somebody has to take the leads. Mm-hmm. So we have to hire heartbeats because we don't have anybody else. Mm. And then that doesn't work out.
It's more out of necessity. Yes. Not that we're trying to knock the system. Mm. It's just like, oh, crap, need someone now. Scratch the system.
Well, yeah. And once I had an admin and that relationship wouldn't work out, the whole time that I'm interviewing and doing the process, and I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but the Keller Williams process could be a long process.
Mm-hmm.
That whole time my team doesn't have anyone.
Mm-hmm.
So then I'm also that person and I'm trying to produce and I'm trying to interview and all this stuff. And it's just a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So even more so, not even my own time, but just more of, I need to bring the value to the team. I don't want this person to leave me because we had an admin and now we don't. And I felt really pressured to choose that next person.
Right.
So, but each time, maybe not always looking at the whole picture. You know, the second person was better at the things the first person wasn't, but then I ignored the red flags about the second person. You know,
because it got a little bit better.
Yeah, you're just swapping out problems.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's like, all right, well, this person was too chatty. And then, you know, even the current person on my team, I was looking for what is the lowest I person I can find. And that probably wasn't the best thing either, because a really low I person doesn't want to talk to your clients. They don't. You're not thinking about the end in mind. So they don't want to do client events and things like that because they're not a people person.
Yeah.
So, you know, if I were doing that again, and I don't regret hiring her.
Sure.
And she's still with me. But if I knew then what I, you know now, I would look for not the lowest I could find.
Yeah.
But I was just trying to replace, oh my God, these other two people had a high I, so now I have to go to the opposite extreme.
Right.
Not necessarily the best thing.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So now you have a good amount of people on your team.
Mm-hmm.
What is the through that growth of admin, one buyer's agent, to now four buyer's agents, three people who do listings as well,
mm-hmm.
A transaction coordinating team, and full-time EA. What would you say is some of the biggest struggles that you've had growing from that point to where you're at now? And what can we learn from it?
The struggle's never been the amount of people. Because, you know, you have the systems in place. And right. for the most part, you know, until we get much bigger, we're not going to have to change those things.
Right.
You know, so we're just always improving the systems.
Sure.
The hard thing for me is I know that we have this opportunity. And I know what the team is giving you. I've struggled with wanting more for people than they want for themselves. And again, if I were doing a better process in the beginning, I probably would have learned a lot of these things. So I feel like I've got this, you know, $100,000 a year position, and you're just not taking the tools. So it's really been a growing experience for me to just accept people for who they are and what they want. And you can give them all the opportunity that you have, but they have to implement it.
Yep.
And if they're not, you have to be okay with that. And then you have to decide, do I want to keep somebody on the team that does a deal a month or two a month? Even though they said they wanted to do three or four.
Right.
What does that look like? You know, do you want to have part-time agents?
Do you have a process like that where, you know, if, because like you said, you want more for them, well, sometimes of more than they want for themselves. And if they're not, if they're okay with one deal or two deals a month, and you look at your expenses and your cost of sale and everything on your end, and you say, hey, that's just, I mean, if I look at this like a business, it's just not going to work in my business. I love that. And that's going to fuel your why, but it's just not going to work in my business. Mm-hmm. How do you ensure that that's a great fit for your business? Do you run them through a, you know, they have to hit this certain result in this certain time frame? If not, we talk. They do it again, they're out. And I'm okay with that because, like you said, you've been deepening the bench.
Right. So when I'm interviewing people, I mean, my ad says, do you want to make $100,000 a year? If you don't want something close to that, you shouldn't even be meeting with me.
Yeah.
So if we have the first meeting and you say something like, I just really want to do this part-time, I'm just looking for some spending money, we're not a good fit for each other. It's not even that you're not a good fit for the team. Right. We're not a good fit for you because the people that we're hiring want a big life.
Right. And you guys surround yourself with
all
those people.
So we exhaust each other.
Sure.
We dislike each other. Those relationships end badly.
That makes sense.
So really digging into their why and seeing, because people will say, oh yeah, $100,000. It's a nice round number. They're impressing you. It sounds so fancy.
Yeah.
But when you really start asking them questions, maybe they really only need $30,000.
Yeah.
And what I'm finding is, unless they are a unique person and they're really driven and motivated, people work around the amount they need, not the amount they want.
Yeah.
So again, it's just accepting that. So we do have a team minimum standard, which is two deals a month. Because for most people, I mean, that's, you're just going to get by, or that's going to pay your bills.
Right.
It doesn't come into effect for 90 days because you're building a pipeline. We're working with you. Again, like any other relationship, you're not starting it to end it.
Right.
So if you're not hitting your two a month, but you're making calls and you're coming into the office and you're participating in a positive way on the team, then it's, okay, well, let's just inspect what's going on. Are you making a lot of calls but not conversions? Okay.
When do you have that conversation with them? Is it after, is it 90?
Well, it just depends on every person. I mean, some people in that 90 days, they're not making the calls.
Yeah. And you keep them on the team?
So I've been really slow to fire.
Okay.
Because again, it feels like a loss to me too.
Sure.
You know, I was promising you something. And when we're on our first date telling each other what we want to hear, you're saying you want that too.
Yeah.
And so it has taken me a while sometimes where I'm giving, 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 giving.
Yeah.
And then, okay, you're just not giving back.
Right.
So I've held on to some of those relationships a little too long.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to be better about that.
Sure.
And I think it, maybe it was Jay Papasan that said, if you're having a struggle with somebody, and when I've looked back at my personal life too, this is usually true. If you're thinking about ending a relationship or you're having struggles with somebody, they're probably feeling the same thing
right.
on the other side.
Yeah.
So when I've had conversations with some of these people, they were also thinking about leaving.
Right.
And it was necessary. And sometimes our whys change.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we have somebody on the team and it is their intention to work full time and make a lot of money. And then they get pregnant with their first child.
Yeah.
And they didn't really have to work anyway.
Yep.
So they don't want to work that hard anymore.
Right.
And we part ways and it's fine.
Yeah.
Because we're not a right fit.
Yeah.
You know, so much of it is like personal life.
Right.
You know, you date people to find your spouse. You don't have to break up with somebody because they cheated or something bad happened. You could just realize that you're not a good fit for each other.
That's a telltale sign.
Move forward. But right. So many people think you have to wait until there's this horrible event
right.
to part ways.
Yeah, and that's why I think, you know, where you say you're not quick to fire, I think that's two things, right? Like, if you give them 90 days, you were never quick to fire because you gave them 90 days.
Right.
You know, that's enough time. And on the other side of that, I don't know if you're the one firing them if right. they don't hit the result in 90 days.
And that's been something that one of my coaches has said to me before, too, because I'll say something like, well, they have a family and this and that. And the response will be, well, they should have kept that in
mind.
Then
they'll show up.
That's right. And they don't. And that's another great thing about coaching or having a mentor or someone right. that you trust, because when you're in it, because I don't know about you, you know, if you have a friend that comes to you and they need some kind of relationship advice.
I'm like, no.
You're amazing.
Yeah, no.
You're a shrink.
Yeah.
You know, you have the best advice.
Right.
And then you could be in that exact life situation yourself.
Yeah.
And you do the exact opposite of what you would do if you were giving yep. the advice.
Yeah.
So it's nice when you have that person kind of on the outside mm-hmm. that can say, no, this is really what's going on. And I have definitely done a lot of actions just because my coach told me to.
Yeah.
It almost even like permission, you know, someone else is in my corner. Someone else is telling me to do it. I know that it's the right thing to do. I have permission to do this.
Yeah.
Good and bad. Sometimes I won't do something for myself, but if my coach says, schedule a trip.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. I think I'll do that.
I can.
My business seems to increase every single time.
Well, oh my God, that's like the life of a real estate agent, right? You go on vacation, you sell a house.
Yeah.
It always happens.
Yeah. Which is excellent. You have some leverage in there because... for the agents who think they have to be the one that does it all,
mm-hmm.
you go on vacation, you should be closing a home,
mm-hmm.
and instead you're on a big boat. And then you feel guilty that you're on a big boat, which is ridiculous. Yep. And that's the power of leverage, right? They can mm-hmm. sell that house for you. Your business is selling homes, not you, right?
Yeah. Well, even just not even being the team leader, being on a team.
Right. Yep, exactly.
You know, our lead agent last year wasn't taking any time off. This year she went to Croatia for 2 weeks. I think our team sold 4 houses for her while she was gone. And we run it in a way where it's, you know, you scratch our back, we'll scratch yours. So none of us have our hand out saying, hey, we did right. all this for you. We right. all know we're going to have a sick kid or a trip or whatever. And
life.
You're just going to go sell a house for me while I'm on vacation. It's going to yep. be amazing.
Yep.
So,
yep.
so you can still have a life.
Yeah, that builds great culture too for you
yes.
guys. So one thing you said, because Amy came today to our market center and had a mastermind with a lot of our agents. And one thing you said that has helped the culture in your business, which sounds simple, but talk to me about that, is a group text.
Mm-hmm.
Because I hate group text. I will burn my phone
yeah.
if I'm in another group text. But for you, it's working. So.
Okay, so it's funny you said that because I hate a group text too. So don't yeah. add me in one.
Okay. I'm going to add you in one now.
Somebody will... You know, you'll go to an event and everybody in the office will start a group Facebook message. And I'm like, oh, my God,
ding,
please
ding,
stop.
Ding,
yeah.
Ding.
So I don't know if other people can see when you mute it, but a lot of times I mute it.
Yeah.
So this is different. I want to be in this group text. Okay. We actually use GroupMe because some people have iPhone and some people have Android. And
what do you have?
I have an iPhone. Obviously.
Boo. All right, go ahead.
Well, we were finding that...
You want a listening strip?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
We were finding that some people were getting messages faster if they had one, or how close they were to the cell tower. Right. It was just creating problems because sometimes we were sending leads that way, and the same people were getting the leads all the time, and then that was creating problems.
Sure.
I haven't had one of these in a while.
I know. I'm introducing Listerine strips back in the market. I found, and just real quick side note, I was like, okay, because being team leader, you're talking to a ton of people when I was team leader, and I need something effective because you talk a lot and eventually your breath is like stale, right? You need something in there.
Yeah, it's like super fast.
Yep. Yeah. Dude, it's, you're not chewing gum, like nom, 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 nom.
Right.
And it's not a Altoid where you're like.
Well, that's funny because I stopped at the gas station before I came in today because I knew I'd be talking to a bunch of people in here and I didn't want gum because as much as I love gum, it's not appropriate when you're presenting.
Yep.
I took drama class in junior high and it ruined me because whenever someone's presenting and they're chewing gum, I get so mad. So I got some little Altoid things.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But I can't open it and clink it around.
Exactly. Listerine. That is like.
Super fast. You can even do it on the fly. Like nobody can ask to know that you did it.
Hi, chew. They're like, wow, after that sneeze, your breath smells amazing. I mean,
it's like, whoa. Oh, right
it'll
now.
Wake you up too. I can
like light this room up.
Yep.
So, go ahead. All right. So the great thing about GroupMe.
Need to brand me and give me money. All right. Go ahead.
A break for our sponsor.
Yeah. Listerine. Yeah. Listerine. Clean breath.
Okay, so you don't have an iPhone, and I don't know if they do this with Android because I've never had one.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you have an iPhone and you're texting somebody else with an iPhone, you can see a little dot, dot, dot. You know they're responding to you.
Yeah.
But if I'm texting somebody with Android, I can't see that.
Sure.
So on GroupMe, you can see when someone's responding. It'll say Amy Freeman is responding. Emojis are the same. They're universal. And the best thing, which I didn't know was the best thing until I needed it, if my team is on a group text through our phone, I can't delete somebody from that. They still have the power to respond. So we had somebody in our team. There was a situation. They kind of, you know, lost their mind and started throwing F-bombs and things like that. And I could just delete them from the group text.
Right.
Just like that. And then it says their name, you know, Jane Doe. Amy Freeman deleted Jane Doe from the group text.
Right.
Like, yeah. So,
yeah.
But everybody was witnessing what was going on anyway. So,
yeah.
So, yeah, you're in control to just delete it.
Yeah.
You can add people to it. So if we add a new team member, they can see everything else that's been in that group text before.
Do you guys have a Facebook group for, like a private Facebook group for your...
No, we just use the GroupMe.
Gotcha. Okay, because I see a lot of teams go to the Facebook group.
Yeah, but then you're on Facebook. Okay, if you send me a message on Facebook, then I'm going to check all my other notifications while I'm in there.
That's interesting.
And I'm never going to get anything done.
You're right.
And I haven't checked my Facebook because I've been here for, 3 hours?
Yeah.
And I have 28 notifications. So if somebody gives me the opportunity to go on there and check it, I'm going to be there for a minute.
That's a very good point.
Yeah. So this just keeps them in the group,
the group
chat. And you can mute it if you want to.
Well, no, I mean, I guess, and the reason why I asked that is because I hate group text. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, there's got to be some value. And I think for my takeaway and maybe some of the listeners as well, that's a huge aha because I even work with people and I'm like, you need to build a Facebook group, private. Everyone knows what's going on. You can discuss things. You're right. They're jumping right back on Facebook. Yep. That's not the only place they're going to go once they're on Facebook.
Well, if your admin's on there... You don't want your admin on Facebook all day long. I mean, agents are independent contractors, and you can only control them to so much.
Sure.
But if I'm paying my admin hourly, and I keep giving her the reason to get on Facebook, that's...
What is that? What is that app again?
GroupMe.
GroupMe.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. So we use that. And it's been really, really great for our culture. And it was a suggestion from my coach. Because I also thought, well, I'll just create a group... text.
Yeah.
And she was like, no, because everybody has different phones. And I was still like, oh my God. And some people will use Slack. That was challenging for our team.
Okay.
And I don't know if it's because we had a couple people that were challenged technically. And it's a little more in depth. Like GroupMe is just a group chat.
It's like a group text.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just easy. You don't have to worry about hashtags and all this other stuff. But, you know, I'm sure while I've been here today, somebody on the team needed something.
Right.
And I bet 8 other people responded to them.
Right.
So it helps with training.
Sure.
And it helps with culture.
Yeah.
Because someone could say, hey, I need to extend due diligence. What form do I use? I don't even have to be the person that responds to that. Someone else is going to get it.
Right. Yeah.
And I will, obviously, if I can.
No, for sure. And that's,
but nobody has to wait 3 hours for me to get to them, because everybody else is willing to jump in. And we do recruit a lot of people to our team that are brand new agents. Mm-hmm. So we're used to them asking a lot of questions. And almost always the agent that had recently come in that was that new agent is the one providing the value to the new agent, because they were just there.
Right.
They didn't forget where they came from.
Yep. Yep. Agreed. And that's also a thing that you start looking at that, I don't know, I might get away from group Facebook groups now. Mm-hmm. But that's
You're
another,
welcome.
Yeah, thank you. That's another thing you look at is like you start to identify the talent or the leadership that you have within your team too, because those are the ones that are always answering. Those are the ones that are showing up.
Yep.
And you, everything's data, right? Lucas Sheridan.
Sheridan?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. He's going to kill me if he listens to this, but he said that. He said, everything's data. And it's so true in your personal and your professional life. You watch people, you see how they move, how they react. Mm-hmm. Do they show up, you know? And that's a great way for you to find and identify leadership and talent in your business too.
Well, yeah, and you create other opportunities. So we started doing Team Member of the Month. And we didn't call it Agent of the Month because it might not be an agent. So we call it Team Member of the Month. And I like the word team. And they know every month we're picking a new person.
Right.
And I can't say what we're doing because we're getting ready to step it up a little bit, and that'll happen on Tuesday. But, you know, we're doing this certificate and we give it to you, and I write them a handwritten note, you know, why they're Team Member of the Month.
Right.
But people go out of their way for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they want to be team member. And I like recognition.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I bring a lot of that baggage from my childhood. You know, you feel like you grow up, you're never good enough. You always, you know, want to prove something. I've always liked recognition. Give me a sheet of paper with my name on it and I can hang it on the wall and I'm happy as a clam.
Yeah.
You know, so I'll work for that.
Yeah.
I
think it even builds. So it's funny you say that, because The Locker Room, which is a productivity coaching program, or like back ends, great program. They've done something for their coaches, and I could care less about the paper.
Mm-hmm.
But when they come out with something that says, hey, listen, you can, whoever, you know, you can accomplish this, we'll move you to the next step.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to be the first to accomplish that.
Yeah.
Whatever that is. I don't care about the paper.
Figuring
I just want to be first.
Yeah, it's figuring out what your team wants.
Yeah.
And what drives them. Because even so, I'm an agent, I think like an agent. When I try to think about, well, how do I motivate or incentivize my admin, she thinks completely different than the way that I do.
Right.
So it's actually been helpful. I've got someone close in my life that is also somewhat in an admin role. And I'll say to her, well, what do you think if I did this? She's like, well, I mean, she's like me. I wouldn't care about that at all.
Yeah.
I would care about this.
Yeah.
Or I want money. You know, people that are in salaried positions, hourly positions, they want money. They don't want all this fluffy stuff.
Yeah.
They don't want certificates. They want money.
Yeah.
You know? So it's just finding out what matters to them and what they're going to work towards. And now everybody on my team knows that, you know, by the end of the year, I need at least one more squad leader.
Yeah.
So a couple people have really been stepping it up.
It's the next step, right? Mm-hmm. It's that vision they want to move into.
Yep.
So you talked about a little bit of your challenges moving from A to B, which is, you know, we're getting to that 150. What has been some of the most rewarding moments about that growth?
I mean, I really love every time somebody sets an appointment. It's funny. I can't celebrate the little wins myself. So let's say our goal is 150 this year.
Right.
If we got to 149, there would be a part of me that would be disappointed.
Right.
But it would be almost double our business
from
last year. So I've had to start slowing down and celebrating the win. And just being intentional about those things and knowing your weaknesses. I've also been somebody that, like, I can never accept a compliment. I'm just like, I'm just moving on, you know? Yeah. And I really deflated my team a couple years ago because our office would go around and they would print out the stats from the MLS and they'd stick it on your door and they'd highlight your number and good work,
cool.
Whatever.
Yeah.
And we had made it to the first page of the printout. And I came in and for a second, internally, I was like, oh, sweet, that's the first page. We made it to the first page.
Yeah.
But then I looked at our numbers. And our numbers were nowhere near our goal.
Yeah.
And apparently had been on our door for a day, but I hadn't been in.
Right.
And the agent that was in the office was like, oh my God, I couldn't wait for you to come in so you could see it.
Yeah.
And I just focused on that the numbers were so far away and I could see her physically be bummed out.
Yeah.
So I'm really having to be mindful about celebrating those little wins.
Yes.
Now I can do it with everybody on the team.
Yeah.
You know, and when you have a group chat situation, or really any situation where a lot of people are involved, you can focus on negatives. So the group chat could very much become, oh, I had this client today that was a jerk, right, or this contract fell through, or whatever.
Yeah.
So when we set an appointment, we say it in the group text.
Right.
I also do that because if you're not on leads this week because you slacked off and your leads were turned off, I want you to see how many appointments are being set.
Mm, right.
Because maybe next week you won't do that.
Right.
Or if you missed a lead because your phone was in the other room, I want you to see that the person that got the lead because you didn't answer set an appointment.
Yeah.
Because I also want you to see the value in the leads. I want you to see, you know, hey, I have to be available if I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
At a high level.
Do you allow that, although it may be reality in some moments, that negative conversation about the bad client, do you allow that?
Sure.
Yeah.
Because we're real. I mean, that's the thing. The people on my team are very authentic and straight shooters. And I think that's why we all get along right now. Our team culture is so good because we're all like that. I think everybody on our team pretty much knows where they stand with everybody on our team.
Gotcha.
That's how I feel. So yeah, we definitely have some complaints, but then we have people that are just naturally positive. So somebody in our team, you know, we just had this storm.
Yeah.
So almost all of us were evacuated for a full 2 weeks.
Right.
Nobody's late genning because also you kind of sound like a heartless jerk if you're calling people and asking them if they want to buy houses.
Yeah, yeah. I know you're holding down your shutters right now, but I just wanted to,
Yes. Yeah. So our lead gen, we still have started doing it, but now it's more, what can we do for you? Are you okay? Can we get you any supplies? Do you need us to come help work on your house? You know, what's going on? We're coming at it from a different perspective.
Sure.
But, you know, we really haven't been doing lead gen for 2 or 3 weeks, which we will feel in our business. That's just going to happen. And then we have an agent on our team, normally a super positive person, had 2 deals fall through this week, and not because of the storm. Because of health-related issues. Mm. So it was just out of the blue.
Yeah.
This was under contract. It was totally going to go through. Financing's great. Everything's great. House was safe during the storm.
Mm.
But diagnosed with cancer.
The client.
Yeah.
Dang.
So lost 2 deals, I think, in a day's period.
Yeah.
So they type in the group text, you know, super bummed, lost 2 deals, whatever. And then it was, hey, that happens. We're going to keep pumping. And we just all got back on track.
How does that make you feel when you see that?
I mean, I hate it because I don't...
No. Sorry.
Oh.
Yeah, like everyone...
Being positive?
Yeah, kind of gathering around. Yeah.
I'm realizing in the last 6 months how important team culture is.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we're like a 9-person family.
Yeah.
We really are. Anybody would go have a drink together. Anybody would go have dinner together. 3 people volunteered together yesterday. You know, and I wasn't there. They posted the picture on Facebook, mentioned, you know, our team. I think the storm even helped our culture because we're all checking in on each other.
Yeah.
You know, what do you need? We have got one agent that's still in Pennsylvania because his apartment is completely destroyed.
Yeah.
So we're offering to go over there. Do we need to go get your clothes? Do we need to wash them for you? You know, what can we do? We'll help you however you'll let us help you.
Right.
Do we need to come over, pick up sticks? What do we need to do?
Yeah.
And a lot of the conversation over the last 2 weeks was, so glad I'm on this team.
Yep. Yeah. Culture is important. Culture and vision. I mean, you'll see that some teams or some businesses may not be hitting goal, mm-hmm. right? Or they may not be where they would like to be. However, when they, especially in this day and age, like having that culture, that family, that actual human touch means a lot more.
Yep.
And then people get so tied to your vision as well that, like, this is where we're going. Like, I don't mind eating crap for so X amount of time because when we get there, like, that's just going to be the biggest celebration of all of our lives.
Right. Well, and I just think it's being mindful of where you are. And, okay, so I've heard for a really long time that you learn more by teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And I really thought this was just my market center manipulating me to teach Ignite. I didn't believe it. At all.
Yeah.
Okay. And when I went to one of my conferences last year, I had absolutely no plan to ever start coaching. Right. Not really realizing that having a team is coaching.
Right.
But just coaching people outside of my team. And I noticed that all the people that were getting recognized, except for me, I was like the only person that was nominated that wasn't already a coach.
Right.
And I thought, all the people that have big businesses are coaches. So it's like, all right, fine. I'll coach.
Yeah.
And I've learned so much, even just learning how to say things differently.
Yeah.
Having to listen more because I'm really bad about that.
It's all about questions.
Oh my God. Because we're different with different people. You know, we treat our, that's why it's so hard sometimes to hire a friend, because you treat them different than you would hire someone else. And I've learned a lot in how to say things different and how to lead versus manage. Right. So if you weren't hitting your numbers, those conversations were a lot different a year ago
right.
than they are now.
Yeah.
And now it's just been presented in a way that I think everybody finally gets it. Even if they're not hitting their numbers, they understand it all.
Right.
And now we're keeping it in front of us. So when we go around the room every week and we say, okay, we need 6 deals a week for the rest of the year to hit our goal, who's got a deal? And if it doesn't add up to 6, then as a team, we're saying, do we need to come in and have a call day? Do we need right. to do old 100? Do we need to do some open houses that we weren't planning on doing?
Yeah.
And now that everybody really understands what it looks like, and it's not just Amy saying this is the goal, it's like, this is just math.
Right.
So we can't argue with it. It just is what it is.
Yep. Yep.
It's been really different.
Yeah. I love that. So I got a few questions that I'm going to shoot your way before we head off to lunch. Cool. Okay. All right. It's all good. Believe me. Purchases of less than $100 that have most improved your life.
I would say when we, so when we get a referral, again, I'm in Wilmington, North Carolina.
Yep.
When we get a referral from another agent, we send them a gift. And I think that goes a long way. I mean, yeah, we're already giving good service and we're making sure that you get paid for sending sure. us a referral, but you have a lot of options. You know, I mean,
right.
there's 2,300 agents in our area, 220-ish in our market center.
Yeah.
So you have a lot of opportunities to choose someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to choose me.
So how much, what do you send? What's the gift?
You have to send me a referral.
So say I send you a referral and it closed, what would you send me?
Well, here's the thing. It doesn't have to close. If you if you called me up today and you sent me a referral, which now I'm putting it out there, so I know you're going to send me a referral.
Mm-hmm.
And that's truly a referral, then we're going to send you a gift. It, that's long before it even closes.
Right. So is it a systemized gift, or do you like, this guy likes X, so let's send him, like, is it more?
No, that's hard.
Yeah, and I agree. That's what I'm like, what
yeah,
is that?
So it's, we send the same thing to everyone. So I'll tell you what we were doing before. We were sending the little 2-pack of send out card brownies and a note. God,
love brownies.
So good. Oh my God. But these are so, there's, I don't know if you've had them. They're good. You should send some to
we
yourself.
Got a send out card guy here, John Gillis. And he, dude, he, if you, I just, okay. So yes, if anybody starts here, you get brownies. Also, he, I don't know how send out cards works or if it's him, but we just had our baby and he gets these pictures off mm-hmm. Facebook and they go on a card and it, so yep. it's a constant, send out cards is a constant yep. touch.
So, yeah. So it, we were sending that to you.
Yeah.
And not super expensive, not a super big deal, but nobody else was sending you one.
Right.
So if you extra. Were sending me a referral and then you were sending one to somebody else in the office and then I start sending you brownies, you're probably going to keep sending me the referral.
Right.
If I gave good service.
Especially if that's me because I love brownies. Right.
Right.
Go ahead.
Of course. And then when it closes, we would send you another gift.
Right.
It might just be brownies again. It might be more brownies. Then we had an agent that has sent us several referrals from another market center. And she said, thank you so much. I really appreciate it, but I'm gluten-free. And that inspired me to start looking for something else
yeah.
that wasn't food.
Right.
So we send something that comes in a Tiffany's box. We'll just say that.
Well, that's not going to work for me, is it?
I mean, it's a unisex gift. It's a unisex gift.
Can I put it on?
Nope.
You can't put it on?
Mm-mm.
It's a clock.
No. I'm not. You have
it
to.
It is.
Look, this is my game. You no, have I to know, send I me know. A referral to see I what know. Is in the box.
Okay.
But hey, who doesn't want, full disclosure, until I sent one to myself because I wanted to see what it looks like when it shows up,
sure.
what the packaging is, I have never gotten anything from Tiffany's before.
Yeah.
But I think everybody, regardless of if you're a girly girl or materialistic, like, I don't know, there's something about that. Like, you get excited, that little blue box. So So we're sending that. And we're constantly looking for other things. Sure, if I can find something in that same kind of price range,
yeah,
that maybe it might be a dude-specific thing or whatever.
Yeah.
Because, okay, if you send me 5 referrals, mm-hmm, I don't want to send you the same thing 5 times, yeah, either.
Right.
So
that makes sense.
We're always looking to increase that.
Sure.
But the point is, we're sending something that most people aren't.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And we want you to know that we appreciate you.
Not only me, I think you have a lot of listeners who are like, what the heck is in that blue box? So, and
my referral business is going to blow.
Before we jump off, you know, I'm gonna ask you to say where they can reach you, right? Before we jump off. But another question, because we're kind of running against that time before we mastermind with my business development crew. Since I've kind of peppered you with questions, what question do you have for me?
You're putting me on the spot. You prepared in advance, and now you're putting me on the spot.
There is 1, 2, 3. There's, I think, 9 or 10 questions. I'm only asking you 2. So at least, ask
me, what other questions do you have for me? That's my question.
I have this really solid question that I would love an answer to.
Okay.
Which is, if you could ask me one question, what would it be?
Oh my God, I'm so bad. I can never
stop. You can't tell yourself that, right?
No, I know. It's so funny because I've always watched like Miss America and Miss Universe and stuff growing up. And you know, they ask them that question at the end.
Do they?
I just quit. Yeah.
You pull out a
question and they ask it and you have to think on the spot. But I've always been so bad about this.
I'm sure they've been prepared.
What would I ask you? You know, I guess I'd really be interested to see where you see yourself in 5 years. You know, what does your growth look like?
Where?
Well, just where do you want your business to be? What does that look like for you?
Mm-hmm. So it looks like I'm giving everything away. What does that mean?
Yeah. Tell me more about that.
Yeah.
What does that look like? I love that. Tell me more about it. I use it so much.
Yeah. No, I think I am in a position that I'm overseeing a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm overseeing a few that oversee a lot of people.
Sure.
And those few are delivering value that I've delivered to others,
mm-hmm,
in life.
Right.
Personal and professional. So, I'm just giving everything away through the power of talented people,
mm-hmm,
to give it away to other talented people to eventually, you know, just hit a ton of people.
Well, I think it's important to show that being in real estate is not just about buying and selling houses.
Right.
Directly yourself.
Right.
You know, there's so many other things that you can be doing. You could work with buyers. You could work with sellers. You could be a team leader and only focus on your team. At Keller Williams, you could just bring people in with profit share. You could be a coach. You know, there's so many opportunities,
yep,
that open up in the real estate world that you don't just have to focus on the obvious buying and selling,
yep,
homes.
And the cool thing is once you start learning business and KW, they were going to shove that, what that looks like, down your throat.
Right.
You start to see that it applies in other industries and not just real estate. So how can you expand past real estate into other industries?
Mm-hmm.
Basically teaching the same principles of expansion, growth, leadership, talent search. Like you see that it works in everything else.
Right.
So how do you expand? How do you expand past real estate? How do you expand into other small businesses and large businesses? How do you do that?
Right.
So yeah, that's definitely where I see the vision in 5 years.
Right.
And the podcast is probably in a nice office.
This is a nice office.
You think it's a nice office? I think it's a nice office too.
I mean, you could use a window.
This, I got that right there, where you can, if you look out into the ocean. Guys, it's actually a picture. However, there's some burning ships with people on fire. Right. So I don't know if that's exactly what you want to see.
I think it just depends what you want. If you're coming in the office because you want to be super focused, your office is fantastic.
Yeah.
Because you don't
have a high eye.
Well, you don't have a window, so you can't see what's going on outside. You don't know if it's sunny. Yep. You don't know if it's raining. Yep. You don't know if somebody's walking by.
That's right.
Your door doesn't have glass. So it just, you know, it depends.
Yep.
You know, I mean, when I go into the office, it's better to be focused. Our office has a lot of windows and our door's glass and we keep it open and people pop in. So
I wonder if you could watch some entrepreneur hear this and start selling it like crazy. If you could do some pull down shade over the window, but when you pulled it down, it had a message like time to get to work or focus time or 20%. or something like that.
Oh my God. See, I was just thinking about the other side of the window where we could have it branded, where everybody that drives by, but the building probably has something on that, though they wouldn't let us because we're in a big, like your building is.
Yeah.
The landlord probably has some rule about signs.
A shade?
So if I was doing...
It's a shade.
I know. They'd probably call it a sign in the window. There's a loophole somewhere.
It's a shade. But yeah, so yeah, no. Wouldn't that be cool?
That's a new business. There you go.
It is.
Watch. We were just talking about businesses outside of real estate.
Shades.
Done.
Keep your people focused.
Send me mine first. I'll test it out.
Watch it to be a present to send to other people who are sending you referrals.
There you go. Absolutely.
Yep. Okay, so tell everyone where they can find you so they can do those referrals. And just follow you. Where can they find you at?
Okay, so my first name is Amy. It's A-I-M-E-E. Last name's Freeman, F-R-E-E-M-A-N. You can Google me and you are probably going to find me. Facebook for sure. I'm on Facebook probably more than any other platform.
Sure.
So if you send me a LinkedIn message and I never respond, find me on Facebook. It wasn't personal.
Yeah. There's a lot of share opportunities on LinkedIn. Just heads up. Go ahead.
I'm working on getting better with it. But you know what? We have our one thing, right?
Yes.
So instead of doing 10% of all the others, I do spend a lot of time on Facebook.
Yeah.
And I've just been there the longest. So again, Wilmington, North Carolina, Keller Williams. Our team name is Amy and Company.
Okay.
You want me to get my phone number?
All
that jazz?
Wherever, however you feel comfortable, well, and whatever you like to give.
If you Google me, you'll find my phone number anyway. So my phone number is 704-965-8333. And our website is amy@amyandco.com. So it's Amy, A-I-M-E-E, at Amy, A-N-D-C-O.com.
That's your website or your email?
Oh, that's my email.
Email.
Website is amyandco.com.
Gotcha. Yeah, gotcha. Yeah. Cool. Well, I appreciate you giving the opportunity, kind of letting it all out there today and allowing the listeners to get some value. And I trust that they'll apply that in their own business. So I appreciate your time.
No, thank you for having me.
You got it. See ya.
Bye.